Pentagon, Lockheed Martin agree to $4.7 billion PAC-3 interceptor deal. The Pentagon's $4.7 billion contract with Lockheed Martin to accelerate production of PAC-3 interceptors marks a strategic inflection point. The U.S. defense establishment has chosen to scale production of high-cost munitions even as cost exchange ratios favoring adversaries reach 114 to 1. The deal, finalized April 10, 2026, pushes annual PAC-3 interceptor output toward 2,000 units over 7 years, up from 600, while exposing the structural economics trap facing Western air defense architecture. For institutional capital, the implication is clear. The U.S. military-industrial base is betting on volume and allied burden-sharing to solve what is fundamentally a unit economics problem. The contract follows a January framework agreement that set production expansion targets and aligns with parallel capacity buildouts across the missile defense supply chain. Boeing secured a framework deal earlier in April to triple production of PAC-3 seekers, while BAE Systems and Lockheed Martin agreed in March to quadruple production of infrared seekers for the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, TOD, system. The Pentagon simultaneously contracted with Lockheed in January to expand TOD interceptor production from 96 to 400 units annually. Together, these moves represent a multi-billion-dollar commitment to legacy kinetic intercept technologies at a moment when low-cost drone warfare is rewriting engagement calculus. Our investments in our facilities, workforce and supply chain ensure we can deliver at scale and with speed, said Tim Cahill, president of Lockheed Martin Missiles and Fire Control, in an April 10 release. The statement underscores a manufacturing-led approach, expand capacity, compress cycle times, and distribute costs across a broader allied base. Yet the context is unforgiving. The PAC-3 missile segment enhancement, which pairs Boeing-made seekers with Lockheed's highly maneuverable interceptor to destroy threats via direct body-to-body contact using a two-pulse solid rocket motor, carries an estimated $4 million price tag per round. Iran's Shahed drones, deployed during Operation Epic Fury, cost approximately $35,000 each. The cost exchange ratio, if the intercept succeeds, is 114 to 1 in favor of the attacker. Even with allied cost sharing, the mathematics of sustained engagement are punishing. The U.S. military's reliance on costly interceptors against cheap munitions has come under increased scrutiny, according to Defense News reporting. Capacity expansion as strategic doctrine, the Pentagon's answer to the cost exchange dilemma is scale. The January framework agreement with Lockheed targeted a 233% increase in annual PAC-3 production over 7 years, from approximately 600 to 2,000 interceptors. The $4.7 billion contract announced April 10 converts that framework into committed capital and delivery schedules, enabling what Lockheed describes as record numbers of combat-proven interceptors for American and allied forces this year. The interceptor uses Boeing-built PAC-3 seekers to identify and track ballistic missiles, hypersonics, and hostile air platforms before the all-up round engages the target kinetically. Boeing's April framework agreement to triple seeker production is a prerequisite enabler. Without seeker capacity, interceptor volume is meaningless. The parallel March deal to quadruple TOD seeker production, alongside the January agreement to expand TOD interceptor output from 96 to 400 annually, reveals a coordinated push across the layered defense architecture. This is not opportunistic contracting. It reflects a shift in Department of Defense procurement doctrine. Accept the cost exchange, expand production to sustain engagement rates, and push allied partners to absorb a larger share of inventory costs. The strategy depends on two assumptions. First, that allies will co-invest in stockpiles. Second, that volume will drive unit cost reductions through learning curves and supplier economies of scale. Neither is guaranteed. The allied burden-sharing calculus, the $4.7 billion PAC-3 contract is structured to serve American and allied forces, per Lockheed's announcement. That framing is deliberate. The U.S. cannot finance sustained interceptor consumption at $4 million per shot without distributing inventory costs across NATO, Gulf Cooperation Council states, Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan. The business model for U.S. missile defense primes now hinges on allied foreign military sales, FMS, orders and co-production agreements. Precedent exists. Poland, Germany, and Romania have ordered PAC-3 systems in multi-billion dollar tranches over the past 3 years. Gulf states have absorbed substantial TOD costs. But 2026 presents a more challenging sales environment. European defense budgets face political pressure, Gulf states are hedging with Chinese and Russian systems, and Taiwan's procurement is constrained by cross-strait tensions. The Allied burden-sharing assumption underpinning the $4.7 billion contract is not a given, it is a bet. For Lockheed, the contract locks in revenue visibility and utilization rates across missile production lines. For Boeing, the seeker tripling agreement secures a critical input supply position. For the Pentagon, the deal accepts near-term budget strain in exchange for future capacity to sustain high-tempo air defense operations. The question is whether allies will validate the strategy with matching orders. Broader industrial mobilization signals the PAC-3 contract sits within a wider pattern of industrial capacity expansion across defense and adjacent sectors in 2026. On the same day, Lockheed confirmed the $4.7 billion deal. Indorama Corporation announced a $525 million phosphate fertilizers and chemicals complex in Egypt's Suez Canal Economic Zone, targeting 600,000 tons per year with 80% export orientation. Separately, Evergreen Marine finalized a $3 billion order for 11 24,000 TEU container ships split between Hanwha Ocean and Guangzhou Shipyard, adding 250,000 TEUs to its fleet amid an oversupply market. Glencore acquired a 45% stake in a South Carolina aluminum recycling facility, partnering with Alumacore to process more than 120,000 tons annually. These transactions share a common theme: capital is flowing toward hard asset, high-volume production capacity in materials, logistics, and defense manufacturing. Evergreen's $3 billion shipbuilding commitment, despite container ship order books approaching 9 million TEUs and 30% of the existing global fleet, signals confidence that trade volumes and strategic repositioning will absorb capacity. Indorama's Egypt investment taps North African labor costs and proximity to European and Middle Eastern fertilizer markets, with expectations of 2,500 operational roles. Glencore's aluminum recycling stake aligns with U.S. efforts to onshore critical materials supply chains, building on its 30% position in Century Aluminum, the largest U.S. primary aluminum producer. The common thread: institutional capital is underwriting multi-year capacity buildouts predicated on sustained demand visibility, even where near-term economics are challenged. The PAC-3 contract fits this pattern. The Pentagon is betting that geopolitical tensions, allied procurement, and extended deterrence commitments will justify interceptor inventory expansion despite unfavorable unit cost structures. The cost exchange problem has no kinetic solution. The $4.7 billion contract confirms that the U.S. military has chosen to live with the cost exchange asymmetry rather than pivot aggressively to lower cost intercept technologies. Directed energy weapons, high-power microwave systems, and electronic warfare countermeasures offer better unit economics against drone swarms, but they remain immature or limited in operational range and target set. The PAC-3 and TOT expansion bets that kinetic intercept, for all its cost disadvantages, remains the only scalable, proven solution for the threat envelope: ballistic missiles, hypersonics, and manned aircraft. The strategic risk is attrition sustainability. If adversaries can produce Shahed-class drones or cruise missiles at $35,000 per unit faster than the U.S. and allies can replenish $4 million interceptors, the calculus breaks. The Pentagon's answer is volume: produce 2,000 PAC-3s annually, quadruple TOT output, and rely on allied co-investment to distribute costs. It is a manufacturing solution to a strategic problem. For defense primes, the contract structure is favorable. Lockheed's facility and workforce investments are now backstopped by a multi-year, multi-billion-dollar order book. Boeing's Seeker monopoly is entrenched. BAE Systems locks in TOD Seeker revenue. The industrial base benefits from demand certainty. But the broader strategic question, whether kinetic intercept can sustain a multi-front, high-intensity air defense posture, remains unanswered. The Plaquemines view the $4.7 billion PAC-3 contract as a high-conviction bet that the U.S. can outproduce its way through the cost exchange dilemma. We see this as strategically necessary but economically fragile. The Pentagon has no near-term alternative to kinetic intercept for the full threat spectrum, and allied demand for missile defense systems remains robust despite budget constraints. Lockheed, Boeing, and BAE are positioned to capture multi-year revenue streams with limited competitive pressure. But the business model depends critically on allied FMS orders materializing at scale and on adversaries not flooding engagement zones with expendable munitions faster than stockpiles can replenish. Three implications for institutional capital. First, the defense industrial base is entering a capacity-led cycle. The PAC-3, TOD, and Seeker production expansions mirror the pattern in shipbuilding: Evergreen's $3 billion container ship order, materials, Glencore's aluminum recycling stake, and chemicals, Indorama's Egypt fertilizer complex. Capital is flowing toward hard asset, volume-driven manufacturing plays predicated on sustained geopolitical and macroeconomic demand. The playbook is clear: secure long-term offtake agreements, lock in capacity ahead of competitors, and rely on government or allied co-investment to de-risk utilization. Second, cost exchange asymmetry will drive procurement toward volume and allied burden sharing, not unit economics optimization. the 114-to-1 cost ratio between PAC-3 and Shahed drones will not narrow materially in the next 24 months. Directed energy and microwave systems lack the range, reliability, and integration maturity to replace kinetic intercept for ballistic and hypersonic threats. The Pentagon's path forward is volume, expand production, distribute costs across NATO and Pacific allies, and accept that sustained engagement will consume interceptors faster than peacetime norms. Institutional investors should model missile defense revenue as volume-driven, not margin expansion stories. Third, the Allied co-investment assumption is the contract's key risk. If European defense budgets stall, Gulf states pivot to lower-cost Chinese alternatives, or Taiwan procurement slows due to cross-strait dynamics, the U.S. will bear a larger share of interceptor costs than the $4.7 billion contract assumes. Lockheed and Boeing are hedged by multi-year Department of Defense commitments, but the long-term growth case depends on sustained Allied FMS orders. We see this as the primary demand-side risk over the next 18 to 24 months. The bottom line: the Pentagon's $4.7 billion PAC-3 contract with Lockheed Martin is a manufacturing-led response to a cost exchange problem that has no near-term kinetic solution. The U.S. defense establishment is betting that volume expansion, Allied burden-sharing, and sustained geopolitical demand will justify interceptor production that loses 114-to-1 on unit economics. For defense primes, the deal secures multi-year revenue visibility and locks in supply chain positions. For institutional capital, the message is clear: the next wave of defense spending will be capacity-driven, not margin-driven, with success contingent on Allied co-investment at scale. The $4.7 billion contract is not a solution to the cost exchange dilemma. It is a wager that the U.S. and its allies can afford to lose that exchange longer than adversaries can sustain the offensive.